point here. But the Department of Commerce has a total appropriation of $4,565,000 per year, and the Public Utilities Commission has $6,182,000 per year. So that's a total appropriation of $10,747,000 per year and $21,494 for the biennium. And we'll just start off with Section 3, the Department of Commerce, Telecommunications Subdivision 2. We did go ahead and appropriate for the biennium the $2,020,000. So that is, again, consistent with the governor's recommendations and the House. Subdivision 3 is the Office of Energy Security, and that on the spreadsheet, members, is line 8. We are going to fund them for the full $530,000 for the biennium, and that is for 3 new staff for the purpose for expediting the rulemaking process. So 2 full-time FTE financial analysts and 1 FTE rate analyst. There is no general fund impact. This is, again, recovered through assessment authority. This is also consistent with the governor's recs, but the House does not have this language. Subdivision 4 is the TAM, the Telecommunications Access Minnesota. That's line 22 on your spreadsheet. And, Mr. Jensen, if I'm off on any of this, please chime in. And we are going to go ahead and fund the full $600,000 for the biennium. And that will be transferred from this division to the Human Services for the ongoing operation expenses of the Minnesota Commission serving deaf and hard of hearing people. That's consistent, again, with the governor's recommendations and the House language. Section 4 is the increase on the budget for the PUC that will fund 3 temporary permitting staff and 5 new staff at the price of $1.5 million for the biennium. So that's $750,000 per fiscal year. Again, that is recovered through assessment authority, and that is consistent with the governor's recommendations, but it's not in the House. Okay, so then the TAP, the Telephone Assistant Program, which is administered by the PUC, that is, we are taking $500,000 per year, $1 million over the biennium, and this is that fund that we talked earlier in the our committee hearings that has a kind of a surplus. It's a special revenue fund of $2.3 million. So the PUC was indicated that we could take $1 million of that and would not risk the program at all. TAP is a surcharge on every local access line in the state, not to exceed the 10 cents per month, which is set by the PUC. The next two are from the RDF fund. The biogas recovery, paragraph B, is $420,000 will be transferred from this special revenue account to the general fund. And this was an original appropriation of $500,000. And some of the biogas recovery projects are in coordination more with the Department of Ag and the PCA. So this is $420,000 that's sitting there not being used. The RDF Greenhouse Gas Advisory Group, this money was appropriated in 08 to study the cap and trade, and a report came back to the legislature of January 15th, 2009, which was called the Midwestern Greenhouse Gas Accord. We are taking just the $7,000 that's left in that. There was an original appropriation of $500,000 for this back in 2008. There is a TAM fund transfer. That is the Telecommunications Access Minnesota transfer. We've been assured that we can take the $1.1 million out of this TAM fund and that it'll still be solvent and moving forward. That's the surcharge on every phone, the 0.06 cents per line, including cell phones. And that rate is also set by the PUC. The next five are also related to the RDF fund. And paragraph E is a hydrogen roadmap project. $280,000 will be transferred from this account to Commerce. And that is a fund that was used to develop these hydrogen projects using hydrogen and as a primary fuel source. And that has actually kind of waned in the last few years. Back in 2005, and I mentioned this earlier, in 2005 they had 50 ideas, and now they're with 25 projects going. And in 2009, they only had 7 ideas with 2 projects going. The original appropriation was $750,000 in 2007, so we will be taking the remaining amount, $280,000. The RDF renewable grants, paragraph F, is $368,000 in that special revenue account will be going to the general fund. There was original appropriation of $2 million in 2007. And these were grants. I can give you further details on that if you have any question what some of these grants were used for. But grants to fund renewable energy research in Minnesota. And they were awarded by a 3-member panel made up of Commerce, PCA, and Ag, or their designees. The paragraph G, the RDF Green Economy Projects, that is going to have a transfer of $59,000. And the original appropriation in 2007 was $200,000 carried over to 2008. And then 2008, there was another one-time $200,000 appropriation from the SIP utility assessment for a report on the activities of the Green Jobs Task Force. So we have done quite a bit of work on the green jobs, and there's a remaining balance of $59,000 that we are going to use. The RDF Automotive Technology Project is a grant for technical analysis and demonstration funding for automotive technology projects with a focus on plug-in hybrids and to study the environmentally friendly manufacturing, and this was all done at the St. Paul Ford plant. They have no further plans on developing any of this, so there's a remaining balance of $22,000 there. They had an original appropriation of $2 million in 07 and 08 biennium. And the RDF IRE Grant Solar Rating Certification Lab is probably the largest from this area, and that's $600,000 transferred out of this special revenue fund to the general fund. And this was in 2009, the legislature appropriated this to the University of Minnesota to develop a solar rating and certification lab. And the OES states that because of the reduction in the national backlog on solar certification and the drop in testing demand, the U of M has no further desire to go ahead with their own separate testing laboratory. So that $600,000 will be transferred over. Are there any questions on my analysis?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Metzen.
Maybe I can't recall, but the 8 new employees, 3 permanent and 5 part-time, are for what, and what are they going to be doing?
Thank you, Senator Metzen.
I might have missed that.
That's fine. I didn't really go into that. I did with the OES, but not with the PUC. That is a $1.5 million for the biennium, and that will retain the 3 temporary permitting staff and 5 new staff for the purpose of the regulatory permitting, a rate-making process or decision-making. So it's 4 FTEs for the utility technical analyst position, 2 FTEs for the engineering position, 1 FTE for attorney, and 1 for a facilities planner.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any further questions? So before we take any amendments, I think we're going to go ahead and do some testimony. With that, we're going to go ahead and start with Mary Margaret Harnett, Executive Director of the Commission of Deaf, the Deaf, Blind, Hard of Hearing of Minnesotans. Welcome, Ms. Harnett.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I think she's testifying in the context of the A5 amendment, so do we want to put that in front of the committee?
Okay. All right, Senator Sparks, you know what? Then we do have an amendment in front of us.
No, that's not Sparky. That's.
I wish I were.
But I'm looking to Senator. Well, you're both good looking. So.
Boy, that's a stretch.
So we won't.
I haven't gotten my cartoon drawing yet by Senator Metzen, though.
Yeah. No, Senator Dibble, then we will have to move the A1 amendment to get the bill in order.
Oh, okay.
And I was just going to go through, but she is testifying on your amendment. So let's get the bill in
right.
in where it needs to be. And Senator Sparks, would you mind offering that? The motion is the Senator Sparks moves the A1 amendment, which basically is the delete all and gets the bill to right where we want to so we can amend. Any questions on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Amendment passes.
And then,
okay.
then I'll move the A5 so
okay.
it can be passed out in front of.
Do you want to start talking about it before?
Sure. And then I also have a question for council. Madam Chair, members, what the A5 does is it appropriates from the Telecommunications Access Fund, the TAM fund that we talked about earlier. If you look at line 2.32 of the A1, which is actually at the top of page 3 on my copy. But I don't know if my copy's funny or. So the top of for my A1, 2.32 is at the top of page 3. I don't know. Just the way it came out. But that's the 1.1 of the TAM fund that we're sweeping into the general fund. And I'm not sure if these dollars, 400 and 400, for the purposes that Ms. Hartman is going to talk about, needs to come from that, or if there's sufficient resources in the TAM to appropriate and take care of this idea.
Okay. Everybody has.
Or maybe Mr. Jensen knows.
Senator Dibble moves the A5 amendment. Any questions on the A5 amendment? Mr. Jensen, do you have any comments on that?
Madam Chair, obviously what we would look for is a balance in that fund. And I don't know right today, maybe the department is here that could help us just agree that much money is in the fund today. I just don't know today. Madam Chair, is the Department of Commerce here today?
Hi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Diane Wells. I'm the manager of the Telecommunications Division at the Department of Commerce. And yes, the TAM fund is currently running a balance and would be able to support both the A5 amendment and the appropriation out of the delete all A1.
Mm-hmm. And Ms. Wells, what does that leave? In the balance of the fund?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the surcharge is at 10 cents currently, and we reevaluate that every year. So based on the legislation that's passed out, we'll adjust the surcharge to make sure that the fund has the balance. But it's currently sitting at around a $3 million balance. We made some conservative assumptions when we set the fee last July. For example, there was a public service announcement for CapTel, and there was a spike in the minutes for the usage, and we pay about $1.70 per minute when people use the CapTel service. And we assumed that spike would sustain from the public service announcement, and it did not. And so when we set the fee last year, we had, again, that was a conservative estimate that the spike would continue. So that's one of the reasons the fund balance is up. Normally we do try it to have it a fund that's pay as you go.
And Ms. Wells, the fee is at 10 cents currently. When was that raised, and what would it have to be raised to keep a healthy balance in the fund?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we're just doing our budget projections now, and if none of the legislation passed this year, we were looking at reducing it to 4 cents a minute.
So Ms. Wells, you could keep this at 10 cents and still fund this?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we would probably reduce it from 10 cents even if all of this legislation passed.
Any other questions?
And I thought I'd just give a high-level overview of what's being proposed, and then Ms. Hartnett can dive into the details. But
Senator DeDouble, tell us exactly what could what this does. Yeah, Senator Vanderbilt.
We want to know what's with all this honesty all of a sudden. What's
it's refreshing. if you could tell us exactly what this is being appropriate, the
sure.
historical part of this, because I will be honest, this has come at the at a late hour,
right.
and we're a little confused about it, and I'm not sure exactly the reason why we need to spend $800,000 here.
Great, thanks. Madam Chair and committee members, we passed a law in 2009 and appropriated TAM funds for the purposes of that law, and what we directed state government to do was to make its e-services accessible to the disabilities community. And we used a one-time appropriation, some state money from the TAM funds, as well as some one-time federal dollars from the ARA bill to start down the path with the Office of Enterprise Technology of making those e-services, our internet services, and our online broadcast services and the like, accessible to the disabilities community. And you have a packet in front of you, this one with the blue headings, and the paragraph is kind of a one-sheet description, and then you also have a little report, and that's it's in my pile here somewhere, but you have a report that shows what's in here. Oh, here it is. The Technology Accessibility Implementation Project. So it describes the start that we have gotten and kind of where we are to date on this effort. There's still a little ways to go on finishing out that work. And so what these dollars would do is to continue that development work in the Office of Enterprise Technology and would also support the work of the Commission of Deafblind and Hard of Hearing Minnesotans to provide accessible information on their website. Some money would come for the legislature and the legislative system so that we could do captioning for our live streaming. And then also it pulls together this advisory committee for technology standards for accessibility and usability, and that's kind of the balance of the bill on pages 2 and 3, and it sets up exactly as it described, a commission with certain members that will recommend and review processes to use for the evaluation and certification of accessibility technology, recommend exceptions and thresholds for deviations, consult with state agencies, and resources for training, convene customer groups, just serve as advisory committee to make sure that this work is being carried out in a sound fashion. And that's my 60,000-foot description, if that helps. Mm-hmm. I can stand for questions, or I know Ms. Hartnett can answer in greater depth and detail.
Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Dibble, line 1.28, it says these appropriations are one time.
Mm-hmm.
Will there not be a need for funding in these three areas after the second year? Is that the thinking, or...?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Brown. There may well be. I'm not sure. Ms. Hartnett can respond to that. I know some of the development work certainly is going to be completed, and that's a project that will come to a conclusion in terms of ongoing operating, providing streaming and that sort of thing. That certainly represents ongoing costs. I'm not sure where those dollars would come from, if they come from TAM or some other source, but Ms. Hartnett can help us. Looks like she's waving her hand.
Ms. Hartnett.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Senator Brown, We are coming in with a request for 2 years, knowing how bad the deficit is this year. And the advisory, I am a member of the advisory committee, the Technology Accessibility Advisory Committee, and you have the report before you that the members issued. And I have to say that it has been one of the most successful pieces of legislation that I've ever seen. We are the Commission of Deaf, Deafblind, and Hard of Hearing Minnesotans. We're a 15-member governor-appointed commission that is charged with advocating for equal opportunity for people that are deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing in the areas of technology, healthcare, education, and human services, and access to public services. This bill was brought forth in 2009 because many people with disabilities were not able to access state websites. They weren't navigable. You have before you a letter, actually, from Representative Westrum that asks and encourages you to incorporate this into the bill, into this bill. And we believe there probably will be some ongoing costs, but not at the same level. We've accomplished much in 2 years, but more needs to occur, and we need two staff positions within OET, a chief information accessibility officer to make sure that all the chief information officers within the three branches of state government are able to produce and make documents accessible, make websites accessible, $150,000 for the captioning, and we allocated it solely for the purpose of online captioning for the LCC for the House and the Senate, but we'd like to have additional funds available to all three branches of state government when they're doing web streaming as that expands. And then another $20,000 would be for our commission to be able to produce content in American Sign Language in during emergencies, key, for example, with the flooding in greater Minnesota. Some people's English levels are very low and have very high levels of understanding and fluency in American Sign Language, and that's part of the accessibility standard that the state has adopted. So probably there will be going forward, but the advisory committee will bring that forward to you. And the advisory committee is half people with disabilities who have technology accessibility expertise and half CIOs within state government. It has been a learning experience for everybody. We've taught each other. We saw how difficult it was to do this work. If you look at your packet, this chart right here is from the what it takes to develop the standards. To change the system of technology accessibility within the state. And all the green squares are completed, and the white squares need to be completed, and it's probably going to take a couple of years. And part of that is we're going to be making products that members of the public can use, and Senator, you would be able to use to learn how to make a PDF accessible. Right now, most PDFs are not accessible to people who are blind, but with the products that we're making and the training that we're doing, everybody will be able to do this, and all citizens will be able to participate. The original the Telecommunications Access Minnesota Fund, that legislation was brought forward. It's going to have its 25th anniversary. Minnesota was one of the first states in the country that made telecommunications access. We have a proud history available to people that are deaf, hard of hearing. And before the ADA was passed, we had a law, and we had a funding mechanism in place. And I believe that we're here to advise all three branches of state government at what we think appropriate uses of funding are, and we think that this is a closer use of the funds, the original intent for telecommunications access. So we ask for your support, and hope that you consider this. And we have other folks here to testify about what it means to them. I'd like to ask
Ms. Arnitz, I have a question for you. The previous funding was $600,000 from the state and $275,000 from the ARRA. Is that correct?
Correct. Well, I think it was $276,000. But yes, and so it's a decrease in all overall funding. It was $876,000 for the biennium last time, and we're coming in at $400,000 this year. We made
Coming in at $800,000.
$800,000 this year, I mean.
Right, $800,000 this year.
$400,000 a year.
And that's where I just have just some issues with it because, again, we are funding a federal program at $276,000. Or $200,000 of some federal dollars. That's, and Ms. Harden, I cannot, accept Article 2, because that is, that's something that should go through state government, a commission.
Yes.
So we'll have to strip that out, Senator Dibble, and just take Article 1. Would you like to move that?
Yeah.
I'm sure if that'll get your support for
somebody else like to
we'll figure out how to revive the commission, the advisory committee somewhere else.
The revisory, yes, we can't pass that at all through this committee, so we'll have to do Article 2 someplace else through state government.
Madam Chair, I don't know if you want to take testimony from other folks or if you want to keep moving.
I do have a question also. We can take some other testimony, but we will have to address this amendment at some time, Senator Dibble.
Oh, yeah. I'll make the changes to the amendment.
Okay. And there's Mr. Jacobson.
And Madam Chair, may I answer the question about the federal use of the use of federal dollars? The standard was a Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1978, which is a federal law that requires that all federal websites and products be accessible, and we voted to the state of voted to adopt that standard. So it wasn't really a federal mandate. It was the state that the legislature decided to adopt that standard because it's been in place, and there's many things that there are many good things about it. It's been vetted for very many years, and it was just one-time use of federal dollars to be able to implement this for one-time funding, but it was really a state initiative, and we used federal dollars to implement a state initiative.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Jacobson? Welcome, Mr. Jacobson. From the National Federation of the Blind, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Steve Jacobson. Do you need an address?
Nope, that's fine. Just your name for the
members of the committee. I would like to, first say that I'm representing the National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota in this, and I'll read the most important part of my testimony first. I shall be brief.
That's good.
I think sometimes when we look at something like this, we get pretty bogged down in all the technology, the technical language, and so forth. So I want to just make a couple of very quick points. First, for many of you, the term accessibility may mean a lot of different things. I think we need to put it into some perspective. As a blind person, I use Internet Explorer. I use Microsoft Word. I use Microsoft Excel. I use any number of other programs that all of you use. I do so by using technology that reads the information on the screen. If a little bit of attention is paid to accessibility, this stuff works well. In some cases, attention is not paid to accessibility at all, and it still works well by luck or by accident. In other cases, it doesn't. What we're trying to do here is not to rewrite everything totally for persons with disabilities, but to try to develop standards and isolate those factors that make things accessible. In an ideal world, you would educate people within state government and be done with it. You know, as Mary mentioned, maybe there'll have to be some work going on. But it is definitely true that at the beginning, there's an educational process. But at some point, it becomes much easier to sustain. Why do this? First, it increases the access of Minnesota citizens to the information that the state has. Second, it enhances the ability of persons with disabilities, blind persons in the, you know, whom I represent, to gain employment within state government. Finally, and, you know, we don't like to talk about this as much, but it puts us in a position to avoid legal challenges in the future. It's much easier to design this stuff in ahead of time than it is to go back and fix it afterwards when somebody comes with a legal challenge. Is this different than what's done in the private sector? I would like to see more companies in the private sector doing this kind of thing, but some companies do. A lot of work is done by Microsoft, for example, and IBM and some other large companies to build these kinds of standards into the software that they write and the software they use. So this sort of an effort is not unheard of in the private sector, and I hope that you will do what you can to support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobson. Are there any questions for Mr. Jacobson? Thank you very much. Mr. Palmberg. Hi, Mr. Palmberg. Please state your name for the record.
Certainly, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Andrew Palmberg, and I'm an intern here for the Minnesota Commission serving deaf, blind, and hard of hearing Minnesotans. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for letting me to testify in support of Senate File 778. This bill was passed in 2009 originally and provided access for people with disabilities to access e-government services. Documents, online captioning of the floor sessions, and the hearings. Part of my job as an intern for the commission is that I meet with legislative assistants and I make appointments for members of our community to meet with their legislators. I noticed that many of the legislative assistants are watching the floor session and the committee sessions on TV with the sound off because the captions are available. So this is kind of what we call an electronic curb cut. Just like a curb cut on a sidewalk has dual purposes. It's for folks with wheelchairs, but it also helps bicyclists, parents with strollers, and shoppers. Senator Ortman was the author of this bill, and today I'm here to ask the committee to extend the sunset for another 2 years to assist us in continuing to improve access for the government and continue this wonderful work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Palmberg. Do you like politics?
Yes, I do. I'm becoming more and more interested the more time I spend here and the more I meet with legislators.
It's addictive.
Yes, it is, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Palmberg? Thank you very much for testifying. One more?
Madam Chair, I'd like to introduce and members of the committee, Mr. Chris Bell from the American Council for the Blind.
Mr. Bell, welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Chris Bell, and I am the Vice President of the American Council of the Blind of Minnesota, and I'm here to testify in support of the bill. I join the last two testifiers in what they said, and I guess what I would add to it is that you're building an infrastructure not only for people with disabilities who want to access and need to access state information today, but also going forward. We're going to have more people with disabilities, and because the baby boom generation is aging, and blindness is positively correlated with age. So we're going to have more people who are blind and visually impaired. Macular degeneration is one of the major causes of blindness and is associated with age. And I think our generation will probably have more computer skills and ability to access the information that's on the web than, let's say, my father's generation. Like Mr. Peterson, I use those programs and use a screen reader. Although I must say, I'm glad that there are people that are more knowledgeable on the advisory committee. I found out I need a remote host to access my emails when I'm here at the legislature. And, you know, I thought a remote host was somebody who invited me to dinner and didn't talk very much. But I have college-age children, so they try to answer my the questions of their dumb father. But I very much support this bill, and also for citizen participation. Many of us lobby. I lobby for the Minnesota Consortium for Citizens with Disabilities, which I co-chair, as well as the American Council of Blind in Minnesota. And in order to have citizen participation, you have to have access to information. And that's really what this is about, creating a level playing field for such access. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Is there any questions? Thank you, Mr. Bell. Appreciate that. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So I'll move an amendment to the A5, and that's to delete Article 2. We'll figure out
Senator Dibble, way. Oral amendment to delete Article 2. Any questions on that? Actually, we're going to delete line 1.4 and 1.5, too. Don't need those.
Oh, okay.
You'd like to put that into your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Any questions? All those in favor of that oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion prevails.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And
Senator
Dibble? I'll renew my motion on the A5 amendment. And there was one point in the one sheeter that I thought was interesting, and that this represents 0.1% of the $361 million that the executive branch spends annually on IT needs. Hmm. So, you know, I think it's a pretty good benefit to a lot of folks for very little money, and I learned something in this testimony. So. I've been running to catch up with this, too, because this, of course, is Senator Ortman's bill. And even though Ms. Hartman is my leading constituent, I just had my brain completely wrapped around the money piece of this. And so I was interested to learn from the Department of Commerce, as we all learned together, that this we might even be able to reduce the TAM fund and still pay for this, mm-hmm. continuing development work.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Senator Metzen.
Looking at the numbers here, looks like almost about half the money spent in this category is for captioning of the legislature and state agencies. So I don't personally think that's a waste of money. Looks like $170,000 or $180,000 a year of the $400,000 is to watch the clowns here.
Is it any better, Senator Metzen?
And let them see what other people can see on the legislative and the state agency in those areas. So that's where at least half of the money goes. So mm-hmm. unless you don't want them to see us, you know. But so that's where a big
well, then we wouldn't have rising stars like Mr. Palmberg out there. Senator Koch.
Well, Madam Chair, and I have noticed, and I like the gentleman who talked about it as being sort of an electronic curb cut, because I do use the closed captioning even when if I'm watching elsewhere, I'll turn down the sound and catch the captioning myself. So that was, I'd never heard it called that before. It was an interesting choice of words.
And I am thankful for Ms. Wells coming up and straightening out a little of this. I do wish that this had come a little bit earlier, a little more straightening out of this fund. But with that, any other questions?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Benson.
I'm sorry,
Ms. Hartman.
Ms. Hartman. There's $230,000 each year to the Chief Information Officer for coordinating technology, accessibility, and usability. I always get concerned when we're adding another chief, when it looks like we have a lot of implementation goals. Would the CIO have flexibility in using that money to hire more programmers and move those lower level boxes forward faster?
Ms. Hartman.
Madam Chair and Senator Benson, it's a Chief Information Accessibility Officer, CHAO, The Chief Information Accessibility Officer is going to be the point person for all of the Chief Information Officers within the state to ensure that their employees are getting the training and to set up a level of accountability which does not exist currently. And perhaps that can be absorbed over time. But there isn't a system right now to ensure that all of those Chief Information Officers are getting have a plan to show that they're going to be compliant with this and make sure that their employees are taking the training that they need to take to know how to do this. And then the other staff position is a technical support person. So if you or anybody in state government had a question where they were stymied after this training, they could get some person to do troubleshooting for them. So those are the two positions. And we'll come back to you in 2 years and give a thorough report as we did before. We give yearly reports to the legislature that you have in your packet, and we'll be telling you what the progress is and if those positions, if we recommend that those positions need to go forward or if they could go away.
Ms. Harnett, so to come back to the legislature, you're going to have to get this Article 2 that we just deleted passed. I understand that this is in the House, this entire bill. Okay, so make sure that we get that done. And Senator Benson, to your question, Ms. Harnett, I wonder if we shouldn't put in the word Chief Information Accessibility Officer. Is that something that we need to have in there to clarify that there is this CHOW?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, OET is very, they don't have an official position on this. It's something that we're advocating for, and it wasn't in the governor's budget. But the advisory committee knows that the CHOW is there and knows that the technician is there, and we'll make sure that that happens. That's part of what we do, is just make sure that that's happening.
Senator Dibble.
Well, and I, you know, maybe Senate Counsel can clarify, but I think we are appropriating to the CIO, in other words, the OET. And then, so we're designating to OET, not to this CHOW person, per se, and the CIO. Am I wrong?
Mr. Fuller?
So maybe this does go to the OET.
Madam Chair, I simply processed that amendment, but just from my, you know, experience, I don't think we are. I don't see where we are giving it to an appropriate entity here. We're giving it to a person. So I think we, as Ms. Hartnett, we have, what is the agency that this money is going to? Office of Enterprise Technology? Or?
Ms. Hartnett.
Madam Chair, and Mr. Cooper, it is the Office of Enterprise Technology.
So Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I would think
Mr.
we should
Fuller.
Say that.
I agree, Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble, would you like to make an oral amendment?
Thanks. I will make the oral amendment that Mr. Fuller designates.
Mr. Fuller, could you give his counsel on this?
Madam Chair, we can be comfortable because it's going on in the process, but I think we delete Chief Information Officer and put to the Office of Enterprise Technology. And if that's wrong, it can be fixed as we move along. But I think this is wrong. To the Office of
Enterprise. Okay, Senator Dibble.
I'll make that motion.
Makes that motion. All those in favor of deleting on line 1.14, Chief Information Officer, and putting in Office of Enterprise Technology. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Oral amendment passes.
And I'll renew my motion.
Okay,
Madam
Senator
Chair,
Dibble moves the A5 amendment amendment as amended with the striking the Article 2. Is there any further questions?
Madam Chair, we would need to change the totals in the bill then. If you just authorize that, we would change the numbers.
Okay. I'll incorporate that into my amendment, Madam Chair.
You have to state, please state that.
Okay.
All those in favor of the A5 amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Amendment is adopted. Congratulations, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Harnett.
Indulgence.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members of the committee, I also want to thank the chair and the members for including the Commission of Deaf, Deafblind, and Hard of Hearing Minnesotans. It's our primary source of funding, and we're very thankful to be included in the budget. So thank you very much, and thank you for passing the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Harnett. And I am actually a co-author on the bill, too.
Being a co-author on the bill.
I have another amendment, Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
have the A4 amendment.
The A4 amendment is being passed out. Would you like to talk about it, please, Senator DeBell?
Madam Chair, what the A4 does is it seeks to fund for 1 year only the CERTs, the Community Energy Resource Teams, or Community Energy Technical, Community Energy Resource Teams. Got mixed up on these words here. Madam Chair, I think we've had an overview of the CERTs. Is that correct? Who they are, what they do?
Yes, we have had an overview, and I think everybody has talked with them in their offices individually or in the hallway.
And currently they're funded out of the RDF, and we've had a lot of discussion about the RDF and what are the appropriate things to fund from the RDF. And so we're taking another fresh look at that, and so they're currently not going to be funded under this proposal out of the RDF. It does authorize $500,000 from the SIP, and it's a little carve out in the SIP when we pass the Next Generation Energy Act. I always forget what it's called, but the Next Gen Act, in which we had set aside $3.6 million for the purpose. There were a whole series of kind of little tiny pots of money for different purposes. This particular pot of money, $3.6 million, was assessed and set aside for the purpose of research and development of conservation improvement ideas, initiatives, technologies, whatever, kind of looking to the Department of Commerce to serve as a either contract with someone or to serve as a clearinghouse for ideas like that. And so we thought perhaps this is consistent with that general idea. Takes from that 3.6, which there is actually quite a bit sitting there for that purpose. Does it one time, so it gives us keeps the CERTs alive, which everyone agrees provides a tremendous amount of value to communities and individuals and businesses around the state. Utilities really love them, gives us an opportunity to take a look at a better, more reliable, sustainable funding source for the CERTs.
How you doing?
Thank you, Senator.
Good,
yeah. Any questions? Yes, Senator.
Session
Kuklin.
Lots not codified. So the very nature of this one-time source of funding, keep the CERTs breathing for another year.
Thank you. Senator Kubley?
Yeah, well, Madam Chair, I know that you've expressed an interest in taking a deeper look at the RDF, but it does seem to me that Senator Dibble's amendment here would support a program that has good bipartisan support in the southwest corner of the state. This does just extend it for 1 year, I believe I heard Senator Dibble say. So that would allow both things to go on. It would continue a good program for 1 year while we look at the RDF in a more definitive way.
Thank you, Senator Kubley. To that point, Senator DeDibble.
Well, I was just going to another point that I forgot to mention. We've done this before from this particular pot of money. I believe we took $500,000, sent it to the Chamber of Commerce for an initiative or an idea that they had, around energy efficiency to help them provide some services. So this is consistent with what we've done previously and with this pot of money.
Senator Brown.
Yes, Madam Chair. And Senator Dibble did a good job, but I'm all slow sometimes. Is this money that's already been appropriated out of the RDF, or would this be additional money from the RDF?
Senator Brown, this is where it used to be appropriated. It was out of the RDF. And in the mission or how I believe this body is going to look at RDF, it really does not fit under the definitions of for electric generation. And so for a better fit, the SIP R&D grant would probably be a better fit for this funding source instead of the RDF.
Okay.
Yeah. With that, Mr. Director Grant, would you please come up and comment on this a minute?
Madam Chair, Bill Grant for the Department of Commerce Office of Energy Security.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We've worked with the CERTS program and have an interest in seeing that it continue. We understand that there are issues around continuing the program out of the Renewable Development Fund. We understand that. We think that the move to take this as a one-time grant out of the SIP R&D account is a good fit with the purposes of the SIP R&D account, and we support the move Senator Dibble's amendment would give us.
And you would agree that it does really not fit in the RFD, the Renewable Development Fund?
Madam Chair, I guess that's for you to decide. As a former member of the Renewable Development Fund Board, this wasn't one of the areas that the board had discretion over since it was legislatively appropriated. Certainly, I think that the CERTS program has been active both with renewable energy and with energy efficiency, so I think an argument could be made for it coming out of either source. But I do believe that taking it out of the SIP R&D is an appropriate source.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Grant?
Aye.
We're not quite there, Senator Messon, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So any other questions? Yes, Senator Magnus.
Just a comment, Madam Chair. I think it's a good idea. I appreciate your amendment, Senator Dibble, and at least give us a chance. Keep it funded for now. A lot of these programs are ongoing, and they are received very well in our areas, as Senator Kubley said. I agree with him. And it sounds like a good idea. Let's do this, and then we'll figure out how we'll do it down the road when we think through this energy programs here for the state.
I do. I would like to keep this type of funding out of the RDF.
Yeah,
and keep that pure, keep that for the intention that it was developed.
Yeah.
So Senator Dibble renews his motion on the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Senator Dibble, you've had a good day.
All right. I'm going back into transportation after this, so we'll see.
I had actually a bet with Senator Gimsey that it would be 4 o'clock, but I guess I lost it. Yes, Senator Metzen.
I'm just curious. We're moving about $3 million into the general fund. And, maybe you mentioned it, but is it like, for example, a telecommunication access Minnesota fund? We're taking money out of there. We're taking money out of the renewable grants. So.
Senator Metzen, can you move your microphone?
We're taking money out of the renewable grants, $368,000, the green economy projects, renewable energy and energy efficiency projects, and totals up to about $3 million. Are we comfortable that there's enough money in these accounts I'm talking about to go forward and to do what we're supposed to be doing? Are we all comfortable there? We are taking $3 million out of six or seven areas that we think are pretty important. Rating is a pretty strong word. I strike that from the congressional. But are we, at least I need some comfort that these important areas are still covered with the remaining money.
Senator Manson, that's a very good question, and I appreciate it. And I can guarantee you that the biogas recovery facilities, the RDF for $420,000, they only used 80,000 of it since 2007.
I don't have the figure, so I don't thank you.
But. Yeah, and all these that are coming out of the RDF fund have either they're done with the funding, they've used up the program, and there's just funds remaining, like the 7,000 here or whatever. The biggest one was the 600,000 for the IRE solar project, and that isn't going to be funded by the University of Minnesota. So as around this table, we shook out the cushions a little bit. That's what it was. But these funds have their purpose has been is complete, and or they were never going forward with the appropriation that was designated for.
Madam Chair, that's very comforting to know that there are a lot of cushions in, huh?
There was some pretty, wouldn't you like to have that cushion?
Rich people sitting in those cushions.
Senator Metzen, you can be right
after me. Not me.
Rich Republican. What'd you say?
Rich Republican. Any other further questions on Senate File 987? Well, I would first like to thank all of you. This has been a great committee, and I really do appreciate all your work. We have a lot more work to go, and I appreciate your thoughts into this bill, making this work. I think this committee really does work very well. I'd also like to thank staff, Mr. Jensen and Mr. Fuller. You guys are tremendous. It's really great to work with you. And, of course, Mr. Halverson and Nikki and my Peter. They're super. So we tend to make it work. We're a little dysfunctional, but it does work in our office. And thanks to you all in the audience, too, the PUC, the Mr. Grant and your crew, too. So with that, I'm going to read. Oh, and our new minority leader for the Senator Swerks. So with that, I'm going to renew the motion on Senate File.
Oh, Madam Chair, should we have both the chair and the minority lead from the same part of the state?
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, we didn't think that.
Putting a kink in this, Senator Coakley.
Oh. We didn't think of that.
Let's get this bill passed, and then we'll talk about it. All those in favor of Senate File 987, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate File 987.
Ooh, we didn't think of
that. Moved to finance, excuse me. With that, if there's no further questions, we have anything planned for next week? We have nothing planned for next week, but, again, thank you all, and meeting is adjourned.